We'll start recording that. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. Of course, we are presented by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. And, well, Keith, you asked me the question. I was going to start with the Super Bowl. But a place that's very near and dear to my heart, Oakland Hills Country Club in Bloomfield Hills, burned to the ground yesterday in what became a fairly large national story. And I think part of it's probably because I don't know if there's a club that's hosted as many majors as Oakland Hills. It's right up there at the top.
Six U.S. Opens, three PGAs, and the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Plus two senior opens,
seniors, yeah.
One by yeah. Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus,
yeah. Yeah.
Which I was on the grounds for both of. I went to a number of those events, unfortunately, at the Ryder Cup, which was the biggest, one of the biggest routs of all time. But the history of Oakland Hills is kind of tied to Michigan. Remember when we did the greatest 64.
Oh, yes.
Well, Walter Hagen, I think, made it into the top 12. I think he made it into the quarterfinals.
So. I think, oh, absolutely, yeah.
He was the second head professional at Oakland
wow.
Hills.
Wow.
So that's how long the history of the club goes back. And, yeah, it's kind of the gold standard for country clubs, at least in the Midwest.
Sure. You said it's a national story. It's really an international story. I mean, every great golfer in the world in the last 100 years has been in that clubhouse and played those courses.
Yeah, it was all over SportsCenter last night. They had footage of it, talked about it a little bit. The second largest wooden building in the state of Michigan after the Grand Hotel.
I was going to say,
the Grand Hotels
wow.
of her, yep.
Which is why it went up so fast.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I'm sure you guys have seen the story now of the members and the employees going in and trying to rescue as much memorabilia
yes.
as possible. It's not really clear exactly how much they got out and how much they lost.
Right.
But, I mean, all the guys that I know lost all the stuff in their lockers.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm personal friends with tons of members. It's almost like the Brother Rice Alumni Association, because
sure.
Brother Rice High School is directly across the street.
Yeah.
You know, I caddied there for 4 years. I have a thousand great stories. Cheryl and I had our wedding reception on the 18th fairway at Oakland Hills. So, yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, no doubt.
I would imagine it for members and those of you who, you know, lived in the area and so on, spent a lot of time there, must be like a death in a family almost, you know. I mean, there were some members yesterday in tears, you know, when pictures started to break of that gorgeous building going
yeah.
up in flames.
Yeah.
I mean, people were mentioning, again, sports, about it being a lot like slash art gallery, slash museum, slash a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Yeah. Luckily, nothing happened to the golf course. You know, it's kind of it's really bad timing. The South Course had been closed for the last 2 years for
yes.
complete restoration and renovation.
Uh-huh.
And so the members were confined to playing on the North Course. And there's a reason why there's two golf courses, because there's over 550
yeah.
members at the
yeah.
club.
Yeah.
So now that they've got the season back open to have the full facilities, now the clubhouse is gone. So, it's going to put a burden on a lot of members, and I'm sure they'll put trailers or tents up, but it's going to take a while
oh, yeah.
to build that clubhouse.
Right.
Yeah.
They were, one of the reasons why they did the restoration is because they wanted to have another U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S.
Yeah.
Open has been kind of restrictive on the courses that they award a U.S. Open to. They wanted a style of golf that Oakland Hills really wasn't anymore, with a lot of trees, and Oakland Hills opened it up quite a bit. I played it late last year with Dan Pohl.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know who
mm-hmm.
he is. We thought it was a pretty remarkable job of what they've done to the golf course. And I'm trying to think of what the open – there's a, I'll take a look at the openings for the U.S. Open. I think it's 2027 or 2028 that's open that Oakland Hills is kind of targeting.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to happen now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I got one clubhouse story. I spent very little time out there, but I did cover the U.S. Open in '96, and a really funny story about a young reporter at the time at the Detroit News, John Nio.
Oh yeah,
John Nio.
Yep.
You know, he was there. He was pretty new at the news, fresh out of college, okay. Right? And he gets to the he's on the grounds there, and he's kind of walking around like he's lost, like many of us reporters do. And somebody grabbed him and took him into the clubhouse. They thought he was Tiger Woods. John Nio.
He thought it was Tiger Woods?
They thought he was Tiger Woods.
They thought John Nio
was Tiger Woods.
He,
yeah.
You know, that's a kind of a stretch.
It's a stretch, but it's a stretch. But, you know, look, Tiger Woods was pretty new on the scene, too. And
right.
You know, young black kid, you know, wandering around, look like a golfer, marched him into the clubhouse.
Right.
No, I don't think I'm supposed to be here, Nio said.
Oh, that's great. No, that's a good story for sure.
Oh, I've got a few of them. Probably the coolest thing ever for me at Oakland Hills is, I can't remember the date now, but they had a British Open qualifying event. You had to play 36 holes on the north and on the south. It was the last possibility to qualify for the British Open. They held it right after the Buick Open. And there was a ton of professionals there trying to get into the British Open mm-hmm. without having to fly over and do it.
Right.
And there was no ropes.
Wow.
No nothing.
Yeah.
So basically, I walked down. Steve Elkington at the time was one of my favorite golfers. He was a guest on Jim Rome's show all the time. So mm-hmm. I kind of walked around with him uh-huh. for about five holes and just chatted with him like I was playing with him.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
Wow.
And then at the end, they didn't have scoreboards. They didn't have standard bearers. They didn't have anything. They just had guys keeping their own score
wow.
to qualify for six openings into the British Open. And then they had like a normal golf tournament, handwritten posted scores.
Wow.
And all the pros and the members and guests that had come were just milling about like it was an invitational. So I talked to Kevin Stadler, who shot an unbelievably good score it was another kid from UCLA. I'm trying to remember who it was now. He shot 63 on the North course, and I was talking to him. I go, that's almost impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the lowest score on the North course, and we were talking about UCLA and all these other things. What was his name? Christ, I can't remember now. Anyways, and then they were serving hors d'oeuvres and cocktails, no cash.
Wow.
I'm like, it's the first time ever that I've gotten a free drink at Oakland Hills, unless I won the lost the match. So, what's the open date here? So they're having it's at Shinnecock this year, or the Country Club this year. Los Angeles Country Club next year. 2024 is Pinehurst. 2025 is Oakmont. 2026 is Shinnecock. 2027 is Pebble Beach.
Ah.
So 2028 is the first available. They could probably get the clubhouse done by then.
Right.
Right.
But they're going to have to make assurances to the U.S. Open that they can do so.
Yeah.
Now, they're holding the Women's Open.
Right.
U.S. Women's Open on 2030.
Oh, 2030. Yeah. Didn't they have some other women's national events coming up at Oakland Hills in the next couple of years?
That's the first one that I know.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. My bad.
So, yeah, it's a shame. And, you know, the club will go on. This isn't the first time that famous golf clubs have torn down their clubhouse. They did it at TPC, where they have the Players' Championship.
Right.
They had one of the ugliest clubhouses in the world, and they plowed that down. You know, the membership will go on, and good golf will continue to be played at Oakland Hills. But, I guess it was noteworthy. And,
sure.
The photos in the media were just heartbreaking.
Yes.
Just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yep. So on the flip side of that, Detroit's favorite son, Matthew Stafford, brought the Rams to a Super Bowl. You know, he didn't play that great.
Until the fourth quarter.
Yep, yeah. Which is what people have been talking about all year long.
He had the best fourth quarter quarterback rating in the league this past season.
Yep. And he showed a 15-play drive to seal the deal. I mean, what do you... He
got a couple of breaks.
Oh, yeah.
And
sometimes you need those.
How? Well, they got a horrible break. I mean, they were killing them until Odell Beckham went down.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's
okay.
True.
So that was a major change in the game. It took them two quarters to figure out how to get the ball to Cooper Kupp.
Absolutely. That's right.
But to me, not only because I bet on him, but Aaron Donald was the MVP of that football game, not Cooper Kupp.
That's what I thought, too.
He shut the Bengals down all by himself for the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Right. And you know how those MVPs go. They vote early on those. Aaron Donald's still making plays out there late in the fourth quarter to actually win the game, but they've already got their votes in there for TV purposes.
The vote is with five, 7 minutes to go in the game, the media votes. I've done that before in the Stanley Cup, the MVP of the Stanley Cup.
It's blowing through triple teams. They push two guys back with each game.
I agree with that.
My God!
I saw people writing that Matthew Stafford got robbed. He should have been the MVP. You know, I mean, they had three players all worthy of that award, and I don't have a problem with Cooper Kupp. He was a man out there.
It cost me $400.
Oh, well, all right. By the way, I didn't.
He was plus $2,600, and I put $20 on it.
Who Aaron Donald was? Oh, geez.
Matt Stafford was plus +130. Yeah. Cooper Kupp was plus +220.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald was plus +2,600.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
I
just assumed that he won. I was at a small Super Bowl party, and I'm like, well, it's clear and obvious who the and the way that the guys were talking about him at the end of the game before they made the announcement. I left the Super Bowl party. I'm like, I'd already won a couple squares. I won all the other bets. What was the under, guys?
No question. I didn't make any bets. I'm sorry to say. Sorry to say.
You bet on FanDuel.
Final score of the game. Remember we were talking about the guy who picked both the final scores and won $567,000 on a $20 bet. I said, I'm going to do that. You know, when I wrote down 10 scores, I'm going to put $5 on 10 scores. Right? I wrote them down. I never actually hit the button and played it. I got distracted. I didn't do it in time. The second number that I wrote down, final score, 23-20 Rams. I don't know what it would have paid. It would have paid a little bit, but that was my second score.
Probably about $725.
Yeah, that would have been worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have put $50 down on 10 scores. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, it was... All Super Bowls are weird, and it was another weird football game. You know, like I said, the Beckham injury changed the entire game.
Well, it looked like it was going to be a rout early on.
Yeah, well, the Bengals, they couldn't cover both of those guys.
Right.
They decided they were not going to let Kupp beat them. And then the Rams realized how many problems they had, and the defense kind of said, "Well, screw this, we've got to step it up."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And let's face it, the one Bengals touchdown was one of the most egregious penalties I've ever seen. That was rivaled the Saints penalty.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep. I agree.
Driving his face mask, twisting it.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey's and then.
I mean, if
no
the
call.
Bengals had won that football game, they'd still be talking about
it. Yeah. That's right.
I don't know how pass interference. You know, they tried to bring it in that they could redo it, and it was a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, they have got to take that call completely off the field. That has got to be called. Up in the booth.
The eye in the
sky. As soon as the play is over, regardless of whether it's a catch or not, offensive, defensive, pass interference, that's it. No guys running over, looking at the frickin' monitor or anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I don't care if they don't call any other play in the NFL. Mm. That play has got to be legislated.
First,
better.
They got to figure out what pass interference is.
That was pass interference.
that was maybe the worst offensive pass interference
I've ever seen.
Yep. Yep.
So, and there's a reason why the guy is bolting into the end zone with nobody around him. Yeah. So,
And the Rams could not run the ball all day, could not get anything going on the ground game. And, it did not look good for a long time.
Look at that. But what was, other than that play, What was the Bengals' total offensive output? Had to be under 200 yards.
But the last drive, guys, that last drive, 15 plays. I mean, were you on the edge of your seat?
Oh, yeah.
Was that thrilling? I mean, they got a couple of calls down at the end, which they needed, which, you know, most big drives do. But that was, my wife, as I mentioned before, was really into these NFL playoffs. She was beside herself, like grabbing me,
right.
It was really, it was kind of fun to watch that game. Kind of fun. I enjoyed it.
It was very enjoyable.
You know, so I drove up from the Metropolitan Detroit Airport yesterday afternoon and saw a number of billboards. Go Rams, go Stafford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think we passed three of them.
Detroit Rams.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw a Detroit Rams billboard, but I saw a number of billboards urging Matthew Stafford to go and win his Super Bowl, and I know he mentioned it in the press conference as well.
Did you see the numbers, the viewership numbers? Detroit was second only in the whole country,
to
Cincinnati in viewership numbers. Mm. Detroit, everybody was watching this football game in Detroit.
Everybody was watching. It was 110 million viewers.
Yeah.
99 million viewers on the actual broadcast, and then another 11 million streaming the game.
Yeah.
This up 14% from last year, which had Tom Brady in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
exactly. And a quote unquote small market team, Cincinnati, involved, but the numbers were great. I mean, they got to be totally elated.
Those numbers from Detroit, though, convinces me what this town, Detroit, this state would be like if the Lions ever made a run. I believe in my heart of hearts that Detroit is a football town first and foremost. We haven't had a team to
there's a reason why U of M Stadium holds the
That's team. Right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Although I don't know why Michigan State can't sell out every game. But I digress. Yes, Michigan, the state of Michigan, is a football. Rich knows this from the difference between high school football and high school basketball is miles apart.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
other than this past year when University of Michigan got into the playoffs, you've been kidding around for 5 years on this show that Michigan is now a basketball school. But Chrysler Arena owns 13,000 people. And you have been football.
No question.
So, and the numbers are just increasing. I guess it's a bigger discussion for a bigger day. Where are football players going to come from in the next 10 years? Numbers are declining everywhere in high school participation.
Sure they are. They are,
but the hunger for professional football and high-line college football is bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I think the hotbeds will only get hotter. When you look for where players are going to come from, Texas is still going to produce football players, Florida, California, and so on, maybe less California. But I agree. The numbers,
numbers are down in Ohio.
In Ohio.
Right.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And then
Pennsylvania.
Another scary.
And the USFL is making a second go-around
over
that's, here.
That's just not going to last.
Just like
it'll last, and it'll just be garbage football. So,
but it's football. We have to wait 6 months for another NFL game.
Football is king. When we return, we'll talk about the new king on the block, which is collegiate basketball.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, JC's season is upon us. So we'll talk about that when we return here. But FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new users with an epic winter games bonus. Just place your first bet on any winter game sport risk-free. How much time is left in the Winter Olympics? He's going to get another
week.
They'll
be done this weekend. They'll be done soon. They're closing
in. You better get your bets in because it's risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. To get started, here are my picks to win the gold. Well, Shaun White did not win the men's halfpipe in snowboarding, and the U.S. women finished second in hockey. So I like Finnish hockey team, Finnish men's hockey team, to win the gold.
That's a good pick.
You can wager on any event, curling, speed skating, figure skating. The gals are in their gold medal phase, so you can get those bets in. and more. Promotions like this are just one of the reasons why I love betting with America's number one sports book.
It's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get paid in as little as 2 hours when you win. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code WGRY and go for the gold today. That's promo code WGRY.
21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne is live in the studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, the Michigan team that a lot of people thought would be the fifth best team in the nation is starting to rear its ugly head as they went into Iowa and got a huge road victory, puts them back in the tournament, according
Absolutely.
To Joe Lunardi.
Well, I don't think they were they weren't really a bubble team.
They were first four out before
yeah.
the game.
Listen, that's a pretty good basketball team, and they do look like they have it turned around. Going into Iowa and winning like they did yesterday is a big deal.
Playing yeah. Iowa's game. Yeah. Iowa had the most points per possession than any other team in college basketball. Mm. I mean, scored the most points with the ball in their hands. Michigan got them the most turnovers that they had all year, Rich,
yeah.
and ran up and down with them for the most part, and then locked them down in the with the last 8 minutes left to go.
They're winning games on the defensive end. They're playing really good defensive
Michigan
basketball.
Michigan has been historically a very good defensive basketball team. Even when the Fab Five, they played really good defense.
Right.
It was Steve Fisher's calling card.
Right.
And that has continued. Now look at, Juwan Howard was part of that.
Yep.
So, ingratiating a whole bunch of new players into what Michigan has tried to do has obviously taken a hell of a lot longer than they thought. But here we go.
Yeah, that Diabate kid, the tall forward here, 28 points, 8 rebounds last night. So that was a welcome sight for Michigan. And Kobe Bufkin, a guard coming off the bench from Grand Rapids, I believe, a freshman.
He is from Grand Rapids.
He contributed 10 big points last night. I mean, they needed all of them.
Terrence Williams didn't play last yep. night, so Bufkin got off the bench. Jace Howard has played some meaningful minutes. Like I said, when you've got a whole bunch of freshmen coming into the rest of a squad that's used to doing things a certain way, you just can't flip that light switch.
Right.
Houston is still a work in process as far as hot and cold shooting. But Diabate, not only did he have 8 rebounds, Rich, he had about 6 or 7 tip-outs, continuation plays. Dickinson was in foul trouble, which usually means they're going to lose. But Dickinson managed to play well enough, and I think he had like 6 assists, almost all of them going to Diabate. He gets the double team, kind of knows where Diabate is, flips it over his shoulder, or gives him a back pass, and Diabate was there for the I think half of his baskets were dunks.
And Dickinson, that's the underrated part of his game, is he's a good passer for a big guy. Does a really nice shot. Yeah, they controlled the paint last night for sure. What'd they have, like 48 points combined, him and Dickinson, Diabate and Dickinson. So they just absolutely dominated down low, Keith.
That's really good to see Michigan come around, because I was worried about that team for a while there. They were on the bubble. Like I said, it looks like it got it turned around, but it was ugly there for a little while, and now it's ugly in East Lansing.
It is. I know. That loss against Penn State was
J.C., what's going on
purple.
With Michigan State basketball? They've lost 5 of 9 games.
We've had this conversation. Where's the leadership?
Yeah.
I don't think that Tom Izzo is the same guy to be the galvanizing leader. I'm sorry to say it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he can't coach anymore, but he's certainly not the same coach that he was, and he's not getting the same players that he did.
Yeah. This is a team that was the top 4 or 5 in the country, too, at one time, like Michigan was.
I believe they're going to get run out of the gym against Illinois. Illinois is coming off
bad
loss.
Yeah.
Yes, tomorrow.
That game is tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, I see Kofi Coburn. Whatever his over points is, I'm betting that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think State's in bad trouble. I really do. I think he's at his wit's end because it's just not being communicated properly. Whatever he says, whatever they're trying to do in practice does not come through in the games.
Right, right. That's very worrisome.
And, of course, he's one win away from tying Bobby Knight for the all-time Big Ten wins record.
Well, he'll get that.
Right. Oh, no question about it. But it's just, right now, it's we've been saying it for a few weeks here for sure about things just aren't – in a typical year, this is when Michigan State starts playing better and ramping up and all
that's
that.
Right.
And they just right now are not don't have that.
Okay. You see, how about Rutgers?
Well, Rutgers, you
four
texted
wins.
Me Rutgers the other day.
Oh, my goodness.
The problem is that Ron Harper Jr. has a hand injury, and they don't know if it's broken or not. That
he's a
would be
big part
huge.
Of
I mean, he's first team All Big Ten.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That Rutgers team, obviously a huge surprise.
They're unranked. They beat four ranked teams in
they'll
a row.
Be ranked.
They will be ranked. They're going to take Michigan State's place. We're about 19.
Quite probably, unless Michigan State can somehow manage to beat Illinois on tomorrow. Then they've got to travel to Iowa on Tuesday. They've got Purdue coming in on Saturday. And then they got to go to Michigan. I don't see a win here.
I
don't know. If they might win their last game, which is against Maryland. They got to play at Ohio State after Michigan.
They go into Penn State and lose like they did. It's like, oh, man, this is really – that's like rock bottom.
That one hurt. That one hurt for sure.
Yep.
Well, nothing says difficult like a Big Ten schedule.
That's right.
You know, it's happening even in the women's.
Oh, yeah.
Michigan was what, ranked number five?
Four. They went to four.
Lost their next two games.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. So Rutgers has got Purdue. That's going to be tough for them. Then they got to travel to Michigan. Without Ron Harper Jr. and the payback that's coming, I don't like their chances there. Then they've got Wisconsin coming in. They've got Indiana and then Penn State. I mean, it ain't no joke.
No.
Big Ten basketball ain't no joke.
No question about it.
I would beware of the teams when they get seeded in the tournament. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Because, the Big 12 is no joke either. And the SEC is pretty damn good. And Big East. Or no, what is the league with Marquette? Yeah, that's the Big East now. All those teams were in Conference USA. Now they're in the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some pretty good basketball leagues. And the teams at the very top out in the Pac-12 are very good. Arizona could easily win the whole thing.
They could.
Yeah.
If you guys follow basketball metrics, compared to go to sleep here, Keith, generally speaking, if you have a basketball team that ranks in the top 20 in both offensive and defensive efficiency, then you're going to the Final Four. Arizona ranks in the top 10 in both categories.
Wow.
So they are very good.
Yeah.
So it's just going to get better now,
Yep.
Super Bowl's over. Now let the games begin.
That's exactly
right. More and more eyes for sure are coming in here now, late February into early March. I mean, no doubt about it.
This tournament, the March Madness tournament, is wide open. Hey, Duke is the only team from the ACC in the top 25 right now, they're not dominant. Aside from Arizona, there's no real dominant team out there, is there?
Duke has got a couple of really tough games that should really paint a better picture of them. They got Florida State tomorrow, which is probably the second best team, either them or Virginia.
Yep.
That's who they play neck and neck. So they play Florida State at Duke on Saturday, and then they're at Virginia on Wednesday. They win both of those games, and they are going to start getting a lot of they're already in the right now on the two line,
mm-hmm.
and Coach K is losing it.
Yeah,
he had to leave the basketball game the other day. I've been watching him a little bit, and you see him in the handshake lines and everything else. He's not.
How old is he?
70.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Did you see that?
He looks frail.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. There's a new book out by Coach K, obviously, and part of it is why he chose, was it Shire,
right,
over Tommy Amaker,
right,
former, you know, Duke kid, all that. So I don't know. I didn't see why or what the details were.
We saw Amaker coach at Michigan.
We sure did.
That's part of it.
Excuse me. He's 75.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense.
So, I was going to say, he doesn't he's had neck surgery and some other things.
Yeah.
And, it looks like he's stepping away at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
I agree.
But do they have enough leadership on the floor and on the bench with him to kind of bundle it all together and win a national championship? You know, they tried to do it for Wooden, and they lost in the final game Wooden's last year.
Right.
It's hard to go out on top in the coaching profession.
What's your impression of Coach K?
I think he's fantastic.
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I. There's a guy, win, lose, or draw, he always finds a way to say the right things after a game. I covered one game at Cameron Indoor Stadium when Michigan, that year that the Michigan won the NIT, and with all those bad guys. But the Michigan went into Cameron Indoor and found a way to win a game where it's really, really hard to win. After the game, Krzyzewski was just so gracious. You know, they didn't score a basket the last several minutes of the game, and he just applauded Michigan's effort and so on. Just he could have been really mad and angry,
right,
and he had been short, you know, with dumb questions from the media and all that, but he was perfect. And he always seems to be that way. Very, very classy man.
Yeah. Izzo's only 67 by comparison.
Yeah.
Number one, it's easy to be gracious when you win 78% of your games.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It helps matters for sure.
He's only had one losing season. Two losing seasons. I shouldn't say that. He lost two of his three seasons at Duke. Since then, since the first time that he brought that team to the tournament and went to the Sweet 16, he said one losing season, and that was the year he had back surgery and was out most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know him at all. I've had a couple of quick conversations with him. I had a really interesting conversation with Billy Packer about him a long time ago when a lot of people perceived that Bob Knight was still the best coach in college basketball. And I had it out with Packer because I go, no, it's Coach K, right?
Right.
And he's like, oh, you can't.
And Packer's an ACC guy.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
And I said, here's the one difference, Billy. If you asked Knight, he would tell you he's the best coach in college basketball. If you asked Krzyzewski, he'd say Knight is the best college coach in basketball.
Yeah. That's part
of that is the fact that he played for Knight. So,
an automatic respect thing for sure.
No, I mean, he would never say, I remember when Knight went through all that stuff and they'd ask Coach K, well, what do you think about the allegations and everything else? He goes, Bob Knight is, I'm closer to Bob Knight than my own dad.
Yeah.
So, that was pretty much the answer to that question. So, there's like 27 basketball games on tomorrow if you just have normal cable package. So, I'm going to eat, Hogs. Eat.
Enjoy.
As we said, college basketball is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook has an offer you don't want to miss. Right now, new customers can place their first college basketball bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. Bet college basketball any way you like. Take a chance at a small game parlay bet. Jump into action with live betting, which I really like live betting, guys. I won a whole bunch of money on the Houston game last night on that.
Right.
Or bet with big promotions like Odds Boost. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now's the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is so easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great raw odds. And when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours.
See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook Sportsbook app today and sign up with promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's promo code WGRY.
21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued with non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, Keith Gabe in studio, and guys, we head to the zaniest of all the All-Star games.
The NBA.
You know what? I might actually watch the celebrity game tonight because Bill Walton is coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever watch Walton do play-by-color?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With Dave Pasch, my buddy Dave. Yeah.
You're going to take a trip.
It is so entertaining.
Leave the farm.
It's funny. You just don't know where Bill's going to go.
Right.
And it's almost like Harry Carey now, Keith, where he'll be talking and the game's going on, and then Pasch goes, well, let me recap what's happened in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, because Bill's talking about a story from back here.
Yeah. Well, always Wooden will figure in a way, too. I mean, talk about somebody that had an extraordinarily close relationship with his coach, Walton and Wooden.
Yeah.
I mean, Walton's written 2 books about him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Yeah, Walton is one of those broadcasters now, like Harry Carey, especially when he was in the Cups a little bit during a Cubs game. But
well, who knows what Cups Billy's in.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like Don Cherry, when he was in the coach's corner and all that. You had to watch because you never knew what he was
going
to say.
It's going off the rails somewhere.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. It always does. And Walton, you give him credit, man. He's really, really entertaining.
He is. They removed him from the NBA just because they didn't know what was going to happen on a larger national audience, and we're the poorer for it. And they keep them out west, too, because they know that the TV audiences are just a little less, and it's more Pacific. So we know that Billy's on the weed. For a lot of reasons. I mean, the guy is really banged up.
Yeah, he's still in pain.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen him get up and down from that chair at the desk, and, it doesn't look like it's any fun.
No, not at all. Yeah. No, you can tell he's definitely hurting.
But, we've got the All-Star break here. I know they just led with the sports news there that Cade Cunningham and Sadiq Bey are in the Rising Stars game. But, a falling star is Dwayne Casey. Yeah. They got Marvin Bagley in here now. They've got the whole team that they're supposed to have. I bet you, Casey said the right thing. It's really nice to have Sadiq and Cade in this game. I bet you he'd rather have them in Detroit with the whole squad to work with this team for a few days.
Yes.
So, they've got to figure out a whole bunch of things because they beat the Celtics. I didn't get a chance to see the game. It was on Bally Sports, so I couldn't get it in Florida. Rich, did you see any of it?
Yes, I did.
Did they just shoot the lights out?
They did. They shot really well, which is, again, they've been hot and cold, mainly cold all year long. But
so the Celtics didn't shoot as well, and the Pistons made all their baskets. Funny how that worked out.
Gotta score the basket, as JT says.
I've been saying this to you guys for 5 years. How did that happen? Well, I guarantee you that the Pistons made more shots than the Celtics did.
Kelly,
I bet you the Celtics took more shots than the Pistons did, but they didn't make them. Yeah.
Kelly Olynyk played well going back to Boston, former Celtics.
Olynyk.
Olynyk.
John Olerud?
But he played well. All of those guys played really well. Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant played really well. So all of the bigger players for the Pistons.
Plus the Celtics were coming off a blowout win the night before. There's a lot of metrics that you got to keep paying attention to when you're in the business of betting professional basketball on FanDuel, which I have done quite a bit. But, what I see as a whole from, you know, maybe they can use that as a building block. Maybe Bay and Cade Cunningham will be coming back soon, because I don't think the Pistons play again till Wednesday. Generally speaking, that's, you know, when the NBA starts back up. So, and maybe they get a break and it's not till Thursday. I don't know if you're going to look at your schedule, Keith, but they need some time to become a team and get their substitution patterns in order.
Right.
And like you said, it would be nice to get some practice time in with Marvin Bagley, because with the latest addition, they haven't had a ton of time to assimilate him to, but you can see, you know, reasons
why. They don't play
why.
Till Thursday.
You got it. You got
reasons
it.
Why he was the number two overall pick.
The Cavs come into town, and then the Celts come into town. You know, those aren't going to be easy games. The Cavaliers and the Celtics are firmly ensconced into the playoffs.
Yep.
And the Pistons are what, the second or third worst team in the league?
Second
worst
team in the league, yeah.
So, I mean, that's great. They're going to get a great pick because there's going to be six or seven or eight game-changing players coming out of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would like to – you know, we were encouraged last year.
Absolutely, we were.
You know,
were.
They fought neck and neck. They don't seem to have nearly the same fight as they did last year, Rich. And I don't know if Isaiah Stewart is already succumbing to the allure of the other side of the NBA. But they just don't play nearly as intensely as they did last year.
The thing you pointed out last year, and I saw it too, from what little I know about basketball, is how hard they played for one another. And we're not, and we gave Casey credit for that.
Yep.
And they're not now. And so he maybe deserves the blame for that.
And it's weird. You would think with the addition of Cade Cunningham, the number one overall pick, you thought, wow, these guys, you know, have a chance to make the play-in game, at least possibly to try to get into the playoffs. And we've been nowhere sniffing it close.
Yeah, I don't know what it's all about, but the head of the snake is coming off. You know, if they don't win... I'm not in upper management. I just don't like what I see.
Right.
And, you know, after the All-Star break, decisions are going to be made. And I don't think we're going to hear from Dwayne Casey at the end of the year. Well, I was paid to tank.
Right.
Oh, by the way, did you see that Roger Goodell met with a cadre of urban leaders, diversity.
I
leader.
Did.
And he also hired a top-notch attorney, the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, to defend the NBA against
even the NFL
or NFL against the racial discrimination charges. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be an interesting lawsuit.
Sure will.
And I don't think that who's the coach? Bowles is the isn't it? Who's the coach that filed the suit? The Miami Dolphins.
The former Miami,
It's not Todd Bowles.
No.
Anyways, he's not going to settle the case. I mean, you know, if the NFL goes, here's $30 million,
no.
I don't think he's going to settle.
No.
He said he wouldn't settle even if he got hired for one of the jobs.
Yeah. He wants his day in court, and he's going to get it. So that will be a very interesting thing to keep on the docket in front of us. Keith, your Red Wings looked pretty good last night.
They did, JC. After getting blown out at Minnesota a few nights earlier, 7-4, they went into the greatest arena in the world, Madison Square Garden, and found a way to beat a really good New York Rangers team. This is a Rangers team.
How good did Grice look last night?
Really good. Really good. He's 6-0-1 in his career against the Rangers, by the way, which is why he played.
He plays well.
He played great. He played really, really well. And, you know, the Rangers like to consider themselves a fast team. You know, they've been rebuilding for a couple of years now, and they're a pretty darn good team. But Detroit pushed the pace. The Detroit Red Wings are starting to get some love all around the league. I was listening to NHL radio this morning as I was coming in, and people are talking. Can the Red Wings catch Boston to actually make the playoffs? They're 6 points back. Boston has 3 games at hand. I'll answer this way. We'll know in the next couple of weeks. They're off. They're having their bye week now. They don't play again until Wednesday.
Right.
But they've already played two of the toughest teams in the league in Minnesota and the Rangers. They split 1-1. The next five games are against the five best teams in the NHL. Listen to this. They got Colorado next Wednesday, Toronto, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida. If they go 3-2 or even 2-2-1 in those games, I say yes, they have a chance to make the playoffs. I don't think they will. These teams, by the way, are really, really good.
Yeah. And Boston ahead of them, obviously a very talented team as well.
Yeah.
But last night...
Well, Marchant's been out.
He's been up.
Suspended, whatever. Mickey Redmond was talking about going into Madison Square Garden, the old garden back when he played,
yeah.
and how the circus was in town.
Right.
And the elephants were parked right next to the locker rooms, and it just went off. It was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It was just great entertainment late last night.
it's hard to skate when you got elephant dung on your blade,
yes.
You know?
Well, you know, they did a massive renovation of Madison Square Garden from the interior. The it first happened at Chrysler Arena. This company kind of figured out a way to redo all the space inside of your arena without blowing up the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And have you been in Chrysler Arena in the last few years?
Yes.
And the lighting is so much better.
There's seats are better and everything else.
Yeah.
The whole thing is better. And then Madison Square Garden hired these guys. They did the same thing at Pauley Pavilion as well.
Ah.
So I don't think they have the elephant dung next to the hockey locker rooms anymore.
They used to at Joe Louis.
Well, you know how much room was underneath the JLA.
Yeah,
exactly. It was a horrible arena.
But bottom line is the Red Wings are giving us a pretty darn good season. They're coming hard, coming fast. They're getting a lot of love around the NHL. They're creating a little bit of a buzz. They play a fast, skilled game that is matching up well against some of the best teams in the league. I'm really looking forward to these next five games.
If their defensemen can learn how to possess the puck better, that's, you know,
they
can start playing in the Wings tradition that I'm sure Yzerman would like to see, which is the way he played the game under Scotty Bowman.
Speaking of Steve Yzerman, he's got some tough decisions coming up. The trade deadline, third week in March. Do we trade a veteran defenseman like Mark Stahl for a draft pick? Do we, you know, Nemestnikov and people who are chips that you could, you know, barter for draft picks and so on to continue the rebuild? Or do you keep them and kind of go for it and push harder and try and make it? These are really hard decisions coming up for him.
Yeah, well, it'll give us something to talk about.
That's exactly right. We can second guess him, but he's hard to second guess because he makes good decisions.
I was going
to
say, but there'll be a lot less NFL talk. It won't be completely over.
Oh, we get the draft, man. It's our season.
Oh, yeah.
In Detroit, man, it's our time.
The scouting combine's coming up 1st of March, JC.
They get three picks
You're
in the
not,
top 34.
I'm not sending you to the scouting combine. Okay, enough is enough. I mean, sending you to, you know, Ludington is hard enough. So, and the Packers hired Tom Clemens back.
They did.
Wow.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers split up with his fiancée.
No.
Yeah, he did.
He can't get along with anybody
for too long.
Yeah. I we are all married.
We are.
Some of us have been married more than once. And I don't care who you are, if your wife isn't the center of attention, that relationship is not working. And I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers or Jerry Coyne.
He's doomed then.
Yeah, he is doomed.
He's doomed.
Fundamental relationship 101, no doubt.
I mean,
I'm out of this one.
Danica Patrick, I'm sorry. I would have stayed with that one. An ex-athlete understands you better than anything else.
Yeah, they seem to have very compatible personalities.
Yeah, I didn't get that one at all. But, you know, obviously, Aaron, I don't know this. My wife tells me that Aaron Rodgers' brother was in Bachelor, and he made it to, the final two. And they mentioned, Aaron doesn't talk to us anymore. He kind of wrote the family off a long time ago. I don't know if somebody reached out for money and, who knows.
Right.
But, I can't imagine. I don't know anybody that said ever heard this phrase. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is a really good guy.
Said no one ever.
Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback.
Great quarterback.
And a really good guy.
What's that?
Yeah. What you like to say is he's even a better guy off the field, but he's not.
Yeah, not Bart Starr. No. He's not a Bart Starr.
No.
When we return here on Up North Sports Radio, we will talk a little bit about the baseball season and where it's headed. But as we were just talking about hockey a little bit, Keith, it was tough to see the men's Olympic team get bounced on a really bad break to give up that gold before the shootout.
The U.S. men's team, they could be playing for a gold medal this weekend, but they're not. They didn't lose a game in regulation in the Olympics, yet they got bounced on a shootout against little Slovakia.
Yeah.
And that nation is celebrating like we celebrated in 1980.
Well, except they just got bounced by Finland.
They got bounced by Finland. Finland will play either Russia or Sweden for the gold medal.
Yeah, because FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new users with an epic winner game bonus. Just place your first bet on any winner games sports risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. To get started, I really like Finland to get the gold.
So do I. So
that is a great bet you can make. You've only got a small window to make these bets for the Winter Games bonus. You can wager on any of the events left: curling, speed skating, the figure skating. The women is the biggest event left really on the calendar. Promotions like this are just one of the reasons I love betting with America's number one sports book.
It's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get paid in as little as 2 hours when you win. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code WGRY and go for the gold today.
That's promo code WGRY, 21 and over, and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Face-Off. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio, Friday Face-Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Keith, the collective bargaining 15 minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
How do they squeeze it in?
Yeah. I
hate Tony Clark. I got to tell you, if I ran into him in person, I would just punch him in his sourpuss face. Have you ever seen a picture of that guy smiling?
Never.
Never.
No. Not when he played. Not never. But I agree with you about him. But I think, he's the puppet on strings. The agents are Boris is really running the negotiations on the player side, and that makes me crazy. They're really letting the inmates run the asylum, and it's pretty sickening. And they're going to have serious bargaining sessions starting Monday, I guess. Nothing over the weekend, but Monday it looks like they're going to sit down and try and hammer this thing out. Meantime, we're still waiting for pitchers and catchers to report. Should have been Wednesday.
Now, some of the Tiger players have been able to meet down in Lakeland. Do you know what that's about, Keith? Like some of the young guys, the Torkelsons, the Greens, the guys like that are able to be down in Lakeland at that beautiful complex down there, and they're working out and playing. And I don't know how this is circumvented with the lockout.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know much about that, Rich, but it seems like it doesn't seem kosher to me. The players are locked out in I know that's a minor league facility down there, but it's run by the Detroit Tigers.
Yes.
I don't get that.
Depends on their contract status. I've been reading that too.
Okay.
Job
is down there. Yeah. So last year's number one.
And the Rule 5 kid who they just said. So I don't. It depends on if they contracted to the big league. I'm not exactly sure. It's probably a little complicated thing, but they do have activity down there. Just emailed it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to read the tea leaves. Most people say that if they don't settle it this week, then, we're going to start missing regular season games. And, somebody pointed out to me, or I heard it somewhere in one of these discussions, about the fact that we haven't had a legitimate, normal baseball schedule in 2 years.
Right.
So you'd think that it's mind-boggling to me that they just don't give a crap about the fans.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's what's maddening. And that's why baseball keeps losing favor like it has been in this country over the last 20 years or so. The sport's going backwards. And you get a moment like this, like you said, 2 years now. We haven't had a normal baseball season, and they want to screw this one up too. I think they're going to get it done. As cynical as I am, I think they're going to protect the 162-game schedule.
Well, if I'm an owner, I got to take a look. I got to try to take my ego out of the equation and go, I'm the one that has to take the expense of getting my fans here. And if this goes on, what percentage of my fan base am I going to lose? Is baseball TV revenue that strong that they don't need the gates? I'm sorry, I know the Yankees do.
Not many other teams, though. No, that's right. That's right. And you look at Comerica Park, even when the Tigers were starting to play well down the stretch last year, they weren't drawing very well. It was hard to get more than 20,000 people in that ballpark.
Well, $20,000, they're making money. But it's more like 8,000 to 12,000 people.
That's right.
You know, when you can hear on the TV broadcast guys in the stands, you suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when they're heckling, absolutely, you can hear it all. Now, and that's the one disturbing thing you don't hear either side talking about. Oh, we got to get back there for the fans, for baseball, for the importance, you know.
Nobody's talking about that. They could care less
for the most part. They're just... Both sides are so greedy.
And it's, you know, it's guys like Boris, again, the super agent, who's out there speaking on behalf of who? The richest players in the game.
Yeah.
Those guys. It's everybody at the bottom who really needs the help. And those are the guys who are going to wind up getting screwed in this
thing.
Those
aren't the sticking points, Keith. The sticking points are about the younger guys getting paid earlier.
Right.
The rich guys are... Or whoever the mouthpieces are saying that, you know, this is for the next generation. They get one less year of protected.
Those are on the table.
And the other thing is, you know, if they start to, if you play in a season, no matter what, that counts as a season, not May 1.
Right.
When they bring up Bryant and all these guys and screw them out of a whole year.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know he's ready to play in the bigs, but you hold him off because you can have control.
And they also want to have the a legitimate draft for Central American
Correct.
Players.
That's
right?
big.
So, yeah.
That's big.
You know, which I don't know why they wouldn't want to do it anyways, because they're paying these kids lots of dollars anyways.
At 15, 16 years old to secure them.
I don't understand who's advising the owners. I mean, is it Manfred? Because, you know, I got to imagine he's behind the scenes going, let's get this done.
You know,
you give something, we give something, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yep.
And as they like to say in the old days, play ball.
Play ball, yeah.
Go ahead. You got another hockey story.
Well, just the Team USA women versus Canada the other night did not disappoint. It was a heck of a game. 3-2, Canada wins. They were the better team. That Marie-Philippe Poulin, two goals. She is recognized by some of the greatest players of the game in the last 25 years or so as the greatest women's hockey player ever. All she does is score goals in gold medal games. It's remarkable. Congratulations to Canada. Kudos to Team USA Women who won the silver medal. They've won two gold medals. Canada's won the other five gold medals in the Olympics. But they pretty good games.
Like you said, a very interesting matchup. You mentioned it, McBain, Northern Michigan Christian, number one overall in Division Four, the new Division One or the Division Four. I think they're tied with what, Southfield, I believe.
Southfield Christian.
Christian, yeah. Right. Of course, they play a lot of bigger schools in their regular season schedule. I think they've lost four games, but still, they play a very tough schedule. But there's some other great games going on around the north as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got McBain Lake City. It's a big rivalry game. McBain, you know, boys team is down a little bit this season, but that's still a big rivalry game. You've got some pretty good Big North Conference matchups in both boys and girls, and the Big North Conference races are both for boys and girls just coming down to the wire and just kind of crazy. I mean, and the boys... In the boys' standings, you got Cadillac and Petoskey at 6-3, and Central and West at 5-3 in the boys' Big North Conference. So that is completely wide open. In the girls, you've got almost a similar thing where you got Petoskey 6-2, and Gaylor and Alpena are both 5-3, so they're right on the heels, you know, with a week to go here. So the conference schedules for championship races are totally heating up.
Yeah, it is very cool, James, to see, like you said, in the Big North, in the boys department there, four of the six teams are tied in the loss column with three losses apiece. And to come down to the last couple of weeks and four of the teams still battling out, and most of them play each other, too, the last few weeks. So it's really cool. Like, I'll be calling the game along with Tom Devitt as TC West travels over to Alpena tonight. That should be a great game. Alpena got them a few weeks ago, so Wes looking for a little retribution here.
Yeah, and TC Central hosts Gaylor tonight. Gaylor's having a tough season, but TC West or TC Central really needs this game to stay in that race.
Yeah, things are starting to heat up. Like you pointed out to me just before we started, Rich, Big North schedule is jammed.
It is, absolutely. And the girls' team, things have really tightened up where Gaylor had jumped out to like a 2 or 3 game lead in the, again, the girls' division. They've taken some losses lately. Now, and TC Central travels over to Gaylor. That should be a good matchup.
Yeah, that's definitely the one. And Petoskey's got like a 1-game lead in that race, but I mean, it's close here coming down to the last week of the season, regular season for the girls before the.
Yeah, I was wondering why I didn't see the St. Mary's girls on the schedule. They won at Joburg 42-41 yesterday. In what is turned into a massive rivalry year in and year out. So they continue to have just two losses overall. They're 17-2. They don't play again until Tuesday against Inland Lake. So I don't know what they're ranked right now, Rich, but they've got to be pretty high.
Yeah, the St. Mary's girls are number 10 in Division 4 with that fifth. They were 15-2, now 16-2.
17-2, according
17,
to this.
Okay, yeah. So they got two more wins in since this AP poll came out earlier this week.
Yeah, Tuesday they beat Central Lake. Thursday, okay. Beating Joburg by just a point.
And there are so many of those small-town schools around the north. Pickford right now in the eastern part of the UP, they're the number 7 team in Division 4. Posen is number 8. Like I said, St. Mary's is number 10. And you still have Mackinac City, Lake Leelanau, St. Mary's, McBain, Northern Michigan,
right.
Christian, and Coleman, all in the girls' honorable mention rankings.
Yeah, I don't see Lake Leelanau on this schedule. Do they not have a game tonight, James?
I don't know that they do. The girls?
No, the boys. I know you guys have been following them. They made the front page of the sports page a couple of times.
Yeah, they've got two big games coming up next week. They play Buckley at home on Tuesday, and they play TC Christian on the road. So they've got two big games coming up. So maybe they're out here for them, gearing up for those by taking a Friday off.
Well, we know how scheduling has gone. It's just not as consistent as us in the media would like it to be.
No, for sure. I mean, I've numerous times, I mean, 3 out of the last 4 weeks, TC West, we've only had 1 game. You know, we've had those Tuesdays off and played on Friday only, those scheduling anomalies.
Yeah, another game that's coming up tomorrow night is Buckley at Mesick for boys basketball. You know, Buckley's playing really well now. They just had a big win the other day over Traverse City Christian, and Mesick is still undefeated, and you know, they're knocking on the door of the top 10 in Division 3, even though they're the smallest school in Division 3. They're one student over being Division 4.
Oh, wow.
One student. Hey, I just want to remind people that Fick & Sons is your local, competitive, and reliable propane provider, but there's so much more. Home and commercial heating fuel. Visit Charlie's Country Corner on I-75 at 4 Mile Road for Arby's, a convenience store with everything from car accessories to coffee, Super 8 Motel by Wyndham, and a full-service diesel garage. Visit Pick and Sons in Roscommon at the Sunny Spot Fuel and Convenience Store. Fuel up with Pick on M72, stop at the Bear Lakes Marathon and Convenience Store or at Lincoln Marathon for fuel, propane, cylinder refills and exchanges, off-road diesel, and a deli coming soon. Find out what Fick & Sons has near you at fickandsons.com.
James, looking at Division III rankings for the girls right now, what a great season. Obviously, Glen Lake, they continue to roll along. They're the number three ranked team. How about Harbor Springs at number 7, 16-1 overall? Again, earlier this week when the rankings were released. So what a great season for them. And then you have the usual candidates like St. Ignace. They crept back up. They're at number 9 now in Division 3.
Yeah, and Harbor Springs actually lost a game last night. They played in Elk Rapids. That was the game I was at for girls basketball. And Elk Rapids ended up getting them by 7 points and avenging a loss earlier in the year in January. And that won the Lake Michigan Conference Championship for Elk Rapids.
Wow.
That was a big game. At halftime, they switched their defenses from man-to-man to a 1-3-1 zone, and it really gave Harbor Springs some problems, and they generated a lot of steals off that and a lot of fast break opportunities.
Well, congratulations to Elk Rapids. That's a big win for them, no doubt about it.
Yeah, second Lake Michigan Conference Championship in a row for them, which is the first. Last year was the first time they ever won the Lake Michigan Conference in girls basketball. Now they've gone back to back.
Just to digress for a minute about boys hockey, the Bay Reps are the 9th-ranked Division I hockey team right now, and Traverse City Central is in the 8th spot in Division II. So we're getting, just like basketball, Rich, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Exactly, and I also wanted to mention 3 wrestling teams that are moving on to the quarterfinals. The usual suspect, Gaylord, the 6th trip in the last 8 years to the quarterfinals. Coach Jerry LaJoy of Gaylord does a super job with that program. And then also in Division 3, Hart, and in Division 4, Pine River, they continue to move on in wrestling.
Yeah, Marquette's having a great year in hockey. They're 18-4. Houghton is 16-9. Petoskey is 21-3.
Wow.
Having a great season in Traverse City Central, 16-7. Our TC West Titans, 11-13. So they're going to have to. They'll be struggling a little bit to get to the playoffs. As we mentioned, I just lost the score, the record for the Bay Reps. But James, I know you have an eye on the hockey as well.
Yeah, the playoffs start on Monday with the regionals. Traverse City Central plays Essexville Garber on Monday night. The bad thing about the schedule this year is that all the regionals are somewhere else, pretty much.
Yeah, I heard that.
Three that they're in with Alpena and Sheboygan, but all the other regionals are somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then Gaylord would host the Division II quarterfinal if Traverse City Central or Petoskey got there. So that would be the closest game that we get other than like Ferris State.
Yeah, I heard that. I was actually talking to the old Traverse City St. Francis athletic director about especially the hockey playoffs are very politicized. The people that host them like hosting them. Well, it sounds like Petoskey has an excellent shot to play at Gaylord. We'll keep our eyes on that. So I'm sorry, James, what game are you headed to tonight?
The Traverse City Christian McBain Northern Michigan Christian boys basketball.
Yeah, that'll be, and it will be, yes, no doubt about that. Will be a good one, James.
Yeah, you've got Brock Broderick from Traverse City Christian and Trevin Winkle from Bain NMC, two of the highest scoring players around Northern Michigan, and get to play against each other tonight after before they get to play each other and play with each other in college. They're both going to Calvin University, so they're going to be teammates in the future, but tonight they get to play against each other.
All right, James, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be, catch up with you next week. What you got an idea what the Get Around podcast is going to be?
Yeah, we're going to have Lake City brother-sister duo of Mackenzie Bisball from the girls' basketball team and Gavin Bisball from the boys' basketball team for the podcast. We're supposed to have them on last week, but we had a little scheduling conflict and weren't able to do it, so we rescheduled for this week, so we're going to have them on. And then, the last couple weeks we've had our fantasy basketball drafts for boys and girls basketball, which generated some pretty fun chatter.
Well, that Bisball name, that is very synonymous with basketball in Lake City.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's three of them playing there right now, and you know the history of the older siblings, and some of which are playing college now.
All right, James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle. Thanks for joining us on the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show.
No problem. Thank you.
Rich, before we get going, I wanted I traveled on Friday afternoon. I didn't see that our Grayling Vikings got beat pretty bad by Boyne City and then lost to Charlevoix as well. All of a sudden, a team that was looking so strong has really fallen onto some hard times.
Yeah, they are struggling to score some points right now. Scored, 40 on Tuesday night, 42, something like
46 in both games, okay. And giving up 60 and 63. That's not going to get it done.
No. Coach L.J. Meade looking for the secret sauce right now to get this team back rolling. I think they play at home tonight, if I'm not mistaken. They are. East Jordan comes to Grayling tonight.
Yeah, they're going to need a strong effort to swing this around. As we were saying, that it looked like the team was starting to reach their potential. And then in that trap game that we talked about last week, 2 weeks ago with Kalkaska, they're on a four-game skid right now, losing skid after winning four in a row.
Right. Yeah, so very streaky right now, and Coach L.J. Meade looking for some consistency. Hopefully they get that tonight with some home cooking against East Jordan.
Yeah, they're going to use that, and you and McCord are on the road to Alpena.
Tom Devitt and I will be heading.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So, we'll be head east.
All right, and of course, the Grayling Vikings basketball game will be broadcast on our sister station 100.3, beginning around 6:30, and the Traverse City West Titans Alpena game. What is the Alpena moniker?
The Wildcats.
The Wildcats, the Alpena Wildcats, over on 106.3. So that's going to do it for the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show. On Up North Sports Radio, remember, for all your propane needs, contact Fick and Son, local, competitive, reliable. Check them out at fickandsons.com. And you can catch Rich and I here tomorrow morning from 10 to 11 with a Bill Maher Scoreboard Show, where we recap all the sports action from last night.